a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, I'm at the Sundance Film Festival, and I'm joined by director Jakub Piątek, and he directed the documentary Pianoforte. Now, Jakub, this was a very different documentary than I've ever witnessed because there was nobody narrating. There wasn't an agenda with it. You just filmed the subjects and let them, their actions and their words speak for themselves. So tell us a little bit about the International Chopin Piano Competition.
Yeah, so Pianoforte, we are focusing for 20 days in October. There is like this huge pianist Olympics almost like every 5 years since 1927. There's this huge competition that is like really prestigious and launched like careers of piano legends like Marta Arheric, Maurizio Pollini. And in 2021, we've got opportunity to follow a couple of pianists competing in that from different countries, speaking different languages. And as you said, for me, from like coming from Poland and studying directing over there, like this kind of like cinema verite style of just like following people and like believing that you can construct the scenes just witnessing them. In a way, and not having like a lot of interviews and stuff like this. That's all that you need to build a film and tell the story. Yeah.
So when the competition starts, there were 87 competitors, and I think if I counted right, you were following six of them. It looked like all six that you followed made the first cut. Were you following more than that? Did you leave out the people you followed that didn't make the cut in your documentary?
Just like revealing our behind the scenes in the film, we started with asking that, like at the very beginning, there's like 500 of people from all over the world that are sending self-tapes with their music. And from that group, there's like 160 of them that are doing preliminaries a couple of months before prior to the competition itself, and I asked like all of 160 of them to just answer, like have a little like home video recording and answer a couple of questions, and that's how I could like met all of them in a way, and I did my research, and then I talked with like 40 or 50 people online for a longer 1 hour long conversations. So just before the competition started, I already knew like which people were, like really interest me. And we just use this gut feeling. I'm not a musician, so it's not about like a, you know, musical or pianist ranking. We just like use like this human emotions and human interests in other people. And we followed like six people during the competition, and just using the math, we should have 1.5 people in the final. Okay. Stage. We've been lucky enough to have more of them in the final. So that's how we did it. There was like one heartbreaking moment for me in editing room. We had like one more character one more protagonist that we needed to edit out from the film, and it's all it's like the tough decision. But yeah, we were constructing the film, so there was like one more.
There was one of the piano players who just withdrew. He made it to the second round and then withdrew. They claimed it was health reasons, but it seemed like more he was just completely stressed out and lost confidence in himself. Is that how you see it?
I was there. I know that Martin was not feeling well. I think we are like telling this in the film, but what you need to know, it's like the stakes are really high in this kind of competition, because it's like a life-changing moment. If you succeed and if you're winning, you could be one of the piano legends. Like you will play in Carnegie Hall like next month. That's the, like, from being like, you know, well received but still local pianist from your country, you're like a superstar in classical music playing in Carnegie Hall. So emotions are really, really high, and we all differently react to stress like that, and we also like kind of like followed like this kind of tactics for preparations to the competitions, or you know, doing the yoga or just breathing like techniques to survive this kind of stress.
So I did want to get into that. The youngest that I saw that you mentioned in the film was 17 years old. Is there an age cutoff for this competition?
So International Chopin Piano Competition, with its rules, it's like between 16 years old and 30. So we've got like two protagonists, Eva Gevorgen and Hao Rao. They are both 17. They were among like the youngest people in the competition, and we've got like people in mid-20s in the film as well. Yeah, but they are still sort of all teenagers or like young adults.
Right, but to be 17 and to be at the top of your game, because you would have to be just to get to this competition. I mean, how many hours of practice does this take, and when did they start? When they were like two?
They are starting like almost like all of them like really young. It's like they are 4, 5, or 6 years old, and of course it's not their idea to do that, because if parents will say, "Okay, you will play trumpet," being like 5 years old, you're starting with a trumpet, and so somebody like just decided that it will be a piano. And at this level, when you are like aiming for being a concert pianist and being professional in the field, and like develop as an artist, they are like normally practicing like 7 to 10 or 11 hours per day. So it's a huge effort, and this kind of effort behind it, that's something that we wanted to witness with a camera, and maybe like tell this story to people, because it's huge when you're thinking that you're alone in a small room with just a grand piano and 88 keys on the keyboard, and you're all by yourself, and like preparing for this kind of competition is also because it's monographic, it's only Chopin music, and coming to Warsaw in October, it means that you have already prepared for all your stages, and it's like 3 hour long repertoire in total around that. So like for people competing there, it's at least like a year and a half, 2 years of preparation just for this event, and just like digging into Chopin's music and trying to, you know, interpret it with your emotions.
But that takes people teaching them as well, a lot of this, and that costs money. So I can't imagine that every single one of the competitors are wealthy. So do you know where they get their money? And one of the competitors brought his instructor with him instead of a parent, it appeared.
Mm-hmm.
And did she get paid 24/7 for the 20 days?
it's not about the money. I think it's a group effort in a way, and it's paying a tribute, you know, to your like favorite composer, and wanted to like share the music with other people and share like your emotions in a way. So there is like different strategies. One of our protagonists is like he was like an underdog, like from the group of like 40 people from China, coming from China to like to participate. He was like in the middle school in the middle of China. He wasn't like from this really, you know, well-known like Shanghai or Beijing conservatories, and he developed like this kind of relationship with his teacher that is like. It's like a deep friendship, or she's saying like she's his piano mama, and so she's not only like teaching him how to play the piano or how to like interpret the Chopin music, like she's teaching him how to live, in a way. And so like he has two mothers.
Yeah.
So it's not. There was it's so pure that there is no money involved in that. It's just between people in a way, and trying to, you know, to do something special.
I did notice in the documentary that there were a couple of people that you would cut to occasionally who talked about who they thought the favorites were or the best people. Were those judges or just people listening to the competition?
Yeah, it was like they are like a music critics, and because it's okay. Like it's for this 1 month, I think the whole world is watching, and okay. There's like a, you know, like only in October like 40 million people worldwide was watching like this competition, so it's like Olympics, and because it was like on YouTube, it was on Chinese Weibo and in television, in radio, so people could like reach out to it really easily. When we were waiting for the final announcement who is winning, there was like a 120,000 people waiting just for the results. So like so just fans that wanted to be yeah. like the first that they will know. So like it's also like this media circus around it in a way. So, and it also like works on stress. It's like the stress is going up yeah. because of that, and stakes goes up.
Yeah, one of the competitors talked about they had to look a certain way. It sounded almost like they were describing figure skating, like Olympic figure skating, where your style and how you look up from the keyboard gives you extra points in winning. And I thought, really? Isn't it just about the music?
That's Marcin, like he's a little bit sarcastic and ironic, and he has like this really nice twisted sense of humor in a way. But of course it's like performing arts, so it also like how you behave and how you look, and that's it's all that matters. Of course, like the music is the most important thing, but you're still performing, so. It's also like nice things to watch or witness, like, you know, like this kind of a preparation is like, okay, what we are doing like with her. And I remember it's not in a film, but I remember I was like I was witnessing the like the scene that someone was rehearsing how to bow like at the end of the of the performance. And so like because they are like those young artists are what matters. It's like small details, and it's and it's like you know they are already like really good, so we've got like the small details and your emotions and what you are putting into that music, how you are like going to bring the music like to be alive on the stage during your performance, and also like all other things, how you are feeling in the morning and what you had for breakfast.
So the film is Pianoforte, and it's showing at Sundance right now. Has it been picked up for distribution anywhere?
I think we are still waiting, and we are still talking with people, yeah.
So people do need to buy tickets for Sundance in order to see it right now?
Yeah, you can try. I know that it's a busy time for and for Sundance, and it's lots of screenings that are sold out. But yeah.
If people want to learn more about the International Chopin Piano Competition, is there a website or a website for you to learn more about the documentary?
There's a fan page on Facebook, and we've got Instagram. So you need to look for Pianoforte Doc or Pianoforte Documentary, and that's us. And in terms of International Chopin Piano Competition, there is a lot of it in the internet. And also you can watch all the performances for free on YouTube.
Great. Thank you so much, Jakub Piątek. You are the director of Pianoforte.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.